seventh in the playoffs. That's crazy to me. But
oh,
yeah,
yeah. I didn't really check those standings out.
I mean, this week doesn't matter. Well, Cincinnati got screwed.
Oh,
they put him at number six, just outside the top five on purpose. It's just awful. So,
because they're still undefeated, aren't they?
Yeah. Okay. They lost a bowl game on a last-second field goal to Georgia, or they'd be undefeated, I think, for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know that they... Yeah, people want to see blowout wins. It's just one of those things I kind of shake my head at sometimes.
Yeah. And they're talking about style things during that Cincinnati game because they played Tulane. It's like, okay, whatever. So... I'll keep forgetting my screen's a touchscreen. I was like, why is it moving? It's like, oh. But, the only way Michigan does anything, they have to win out. And then Michigan State's going to have two losses. Because there's no way. Because Michigan State, obviously, well, they play Penn State and Ohio State still. Michigan has Penn State and Ohio State. And Ohio State has, I think, just Michigan State and Michigan. So they all play each other because it goes Michigan State, Ohio State's right behind them, I believe.
No,
that can't be it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Ohio State's the lower of the two.
Which, I mean, they should be.
Yeah, they have a loss. So, Michigan State's still undefeated, so yeah.
Yes, unfortunately they are. So.
Oof, yeah. We did get to soak most of that one in this weekend while we were at that Henmick Brewery up. We end up having to drive about 35, 40 minutes up north. It was this new brewery that's up there. And I would say it's a little bit north of Delaware. Beer was pretty tasty. Atmosphere was a lot of fun. It'll be nicer to go there when it's not kind of cold.
Our temperature is bombing out tomorrow, but I've heard it's already cold up there for you. So, yeah, the rankings are Georgia at 1, obviously. Alabama at 2.
Oh.
They lost to a 20th-ranked team. That's some garbage. Michigan State at number 3. Oregon at 4. Ohio State at 5, Cincinnati 6. And then Michigan's at 7th, Oklahoma's 8, Wake Forest, and then Notre Dame. So it's just straight garbage. But whatever. It doesn't matter. It's only week 1 anyways. So.
Anyone that gets their dander too far up for this situation is should not be too concerned. Because, one of Michigan State and or Ohio State's going to get bumped out of that list since they play each other.
That Michigan State game, and I hate saying this, the referees, they took a touchdown off the board. That was a clear touchdown. They said that his shin hit the ground. I want to know how the hell your shin can hit the ground without your knee hitting the ground first.
It's
like they said it was a touchdown on the field. Then they reviewed it and said no, his shin was down.
Yeah, it's possible.
They showed the replay. Like it clearly wasn't.
Yeah,
and,
I didn't.
Pass interference thing, whatever. They never call shit. So, but, like everyone's bitching. I was like, if the defense, like they're bitching about Harbaugh. It's like, well, he can't play defense. So if they just cover their gaps the way they're supposed to. And just tackle this Kenneth Walker kid one time, they win the game. Because he didn't have a whole lot of small runs. He had long runs for touchdowns. Four out of his five were 20 yards or more or something.
I was actually kind of shocked when I saw his numbers. I'm like, huh, I would have thought he had more yardage than that. Like, I know that his yardage was kind of ridiculous. But you're right. It was all... every time, he broke huge ones. And yeah, there was no secondary tackling there whatsoever. You know, someone.
Yeah, he just busts the line. Go.
Yeah. Like, you should not be clean after one level multiple times. I am 100% sure that's not how Harbaugh drew it up, and or his defensive coordinator, and I don't know what his name is, but
Mike McDonald from the Ravens. He was their assistant head coach, and was it their D line coach or something like that? He was a defensive coach for the Ravens.
Oh, okay.
He kept screwing up too. He kept trying to substitute players. Dude, you get caught twice, fine. Five times? It's like he was trying to swap out D linemen.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? The heaviest guys on the field? Are you out of your mind?
It makes sense to sub them, but B, like you said, like if you're getting caught that many times, after the second time, it's egregious.
Yeah. It was very oof. So, but gotta just win the rest of them. I just want to be like, just keep it interesting. That's all I'm asking.
Well, Pitt does not do themselves any favors.
No.
They finally get, because Kara's like, oh, I don't remember the last time Pitt was ranked above Penn State. And then they go out and lose. And it's just like, oh my gosh, guys. And I didn't get to see the game because we had, I don't think the bar had the ACC network. Or the brewery didn't have the ACC network. So we just watched the Michigan State game there. But I kept track of it on my phone. It was just like, evidently there was both of the brothers thought that there was a bad call in that one. But the older actually said, he's like, their defense was just terrible today. He's like, all they needed to do was stop them once. Like, out of however many points they, you know, if they hold them to 31 instead of 38, they win the game. It's just like, that really isn't asking too much.
If they don't allow two-point conversions.
Oh.
That game's, I mean, that's, all right, so they were down by 16. They scored two touchdowns and two extra point conversions. And it's like, that's a very hard play to make, but they just did it with ease. And I was like, good God. But I honestly thought they were with it. I really did think Michigan was going to go down, kick field goal, and win. Because, I mean, they did it in Nebraska, and they've looked like a different team than the last few years.
Oh.
But that interception the kid made from Michigan State at the end, that was pretty.
What
are you going to do?
Yeah, so, that was a really nice play.
This is one thing I hate about watching Kent games. There's just no one there. Like, they just showed that end zone thing, and it's just empty.
Yeah, it's. I feel like it's better than it used to be, but it's still not very good.
No.
Even though, like,
did
I said,
they ever do anything? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, they've started to do a lot of nice stuff. I know that a bunch of the recent alumni have thrown money at the school to help out the football program.
Yeah, because they are, they're the least funded?
At least they were at some juncture. Like, I don't know if it's still true or not, but yeah, they used to be one of the most underfunded D1 programs.
I think even the year that they went to the MAC championship game, I believe they were the least funded college football program. Like whatever it was this FBS? Yeah, FBS?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it's changed now, but yeah, I mean, I remember those games that we went to a couple times. And
ooh, Yeah, I only went twice. I've been more, I think I've been to more games since I graduated than when I was actually at school.
Did they ever fill in from like the end campus to the stadium?
No, because they're filling in that area towards downtown Kent.
Oh.
Because they're kind of, yeah, they've started to grow that direction more. Because that's the new architecture school is is over that way. Because it's kind
Okay.
of, I'm trying to think of what the name of that place is, because it's one of those places that's been there a while. You probably know it, but yeah,
Yeah.
it's towards the downtown area. So no, it campus hasn't grown towards the football stadium.
Because that's got to be part of the problem. I mean, there's nothing down that way.
Oh no, and the bus
Absolutely nothing.
system used to be very good, but there's still it. Yeah, it could get a little bit
People want
crazy.
something to do. Yeah. I guess we
Yeah.
better start the show.
Oh, I started it a
It's
while
almost
ago.
10. Oh, we did? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Well,
when
hey,
we started
everybody.
talking about the Michigan State stuff, I'm like, oh, I gotta record.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's whatever.
So yeah,
Don't know.
that
I just it's my it's nice to have like the 2 times a year I hear from my brother other than Christmas is a Michigan State game, and I'll hear from him on the Ohio State game. And then it's just back to, all right, I'll talk to you Christmas, and then we just wait until September. So, yay.
I know the younger brother was watching this game because he thinks Kent's unis are pretty wild too.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Chargers. I like the Chargers uniforms, the old ones. I like those.
Yeah.
But this isn't the San. Oh yeah, it's not the San Diego Chargers. So, oh
Yeah,
well.
it is wild that one of the most underfunded programs is now to the point that they have Oregon-like uniforms where they can mix and match like six different colors.
Yeah,
Because
and I don't understand. I don't get the fascination with doing that stuff, but I'm not a fashionista, so who cares?
yeah, like. It doesn't seem like I guess I like it, but it's also not high on my priority list of why I'm watching football.
No, like Oregon, fine. Because who the hell cared about the Oregon Ducks? And then they got good, and they start doing the uniform thing. So it's kind of their thing now, right? And now
Yeah.
everybody does it. Oklahoma State is atrocious. They put like those orange pants and gray jerseys on, but
Oh.
it's like a, it's not even a gunmetal gray. It's like almost a, I don't know, is midnight gray a color? I don't know. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it's kind of like a gunmetal gray, I think, 'cause I do feel like I've seen those once or twice. I
Yeah, it's
haven't
just not
seen that many
attractive.
Oklahoma State games though. So I mean, I kind of know what you're talking about, but I'm not also completely sure.
Yeah. Oh, because Oklahoma State does like the all black, they'll do all orange, orange and black, black and gray. I'm like, oh my God. And the thing is, most of these are done by schools who need the attention. Like, who the hell cares about Oklahoma State when you have Oklahoma? I mean, just name value alone. So it's like Michigan, Ohio State. No one cares about Michigan State. I don't care if they're good. Nationally, no. That's why they have to do it with their little high school decals on their helmets from this week, or last week, I should say. But no, it's just like Kent. No one cares about Kent. Sorry.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, and then oh yeah, and then another fun Mac news. Did you see that they're going to try and expand?
I guess I'm
They're
not
going to try and get
surprised.
Middle Tennessee and I think Western Kentucky.
Oh, that would make sense to bring them on.
Yeah, Western Kentucky and then Tennessee. So at least you have got like the states in between. But yeah, just crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Well, the goddamn SEC is gonna have what, 20 teams or something now? When Oklahoma and Texas go in there and get rolled every week?
Yeah, it's kind of weird, like the whole setup. I guess I don't like everyone's on TV now. Like, I'm not quite sure how it benefits benefits anyone. You know what I mean? Like, aren't you getting TV rights already? So what does changing a conference do? Like, we're watching Kent State on a Tuesday or Wednesday.
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is TV money because the Big 12 is not getting SEC money, you know? Like each school is not getting that money from ESPN or whoever the hell carries them.
Oh, right.
So you're going to get more. But the one that surprises me is Texas because they have their own network, or did. I think they still have it. So why the hell do you need SEC money? Because let's just be clear about this. Texas joins the SEC. Welcome to Arkansas level. They're going to get destroyed in the SEC.
That's what confused me about that change. I'm like, you guys are about a decade or so too late for this change. Like, you guys haven't been good since. I know that Vince Young was probably not the last great quarterback. Well, might have been the last great quarterback there at Texas, but I'm gonna guess that they had a few good years after he left. But it wasn't that long after that era that Texas started to be average in the Big 12.
Yeah. I know some people won't like that, but it's like, yeah. Well, my favorite one, and this is kind of on topic, but Texas A&M can now play each other every year again. So there's that part. Even though Texas A&M didn't want anything to do with them, that's why they left. Well, then touchdown.
Oh,
And
well, nice preview.
yeah, I forgot. Sorry, but. Like Texas A&M went to the SEC to get away from the Big 12 and the way Texas ran stuff, right? So this drives me crazy because I got Jimbo Fisher now, but this idea that Texas A&M is there to win championships and win conference championships and do all this. Texas A&M hasn't won a national championship since before electricity was widely available in homes. It was 1913, I think. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about? I want to make sure it wasn't 31, but.
Yeah, whatever. It's a long ass time ago. They are positioned to at least do better than Texas.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. 1939. So, before World War II. Or no, during World War II, right?
Yes. The US might not have been in the war yet, but I think it was kind of underway at that juncture.
Because we joined 2 years later, so yeah, about 40, what, 41? What'd you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pearl Harbor was 41, right?
Man, we went to
Shit.
that not that long
I
ago,
saved
and
you
I
guys.
honestly don't remember what the date is.
Well, for the sake of. And also, are you allowed to claim a national championship like before TV existed? We won a national championship in 39. Did you? And can't everyone just say that? So.
Yeah, a lot of people can't say that. It always cracked me up. My mom's dad always used to tell me about when Carnegie Mellon was a football powerhouse and he used to have big games against Notre Dame. I'm like, what the
Yes.
fuck?
Well, shit. Michigan like won the national championship against Chicago. I was like, the Bears? Like, what are we talking about? Or Harvard or someone like that. Yeah, yeah. It is. It is December 7th, 1941, by the way. I thought so.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, so, yeah, just college. I still love college football more than pros because Detroit doesn't have a team. So it's been kind of hard. It's hard. It's hard to follow the Panthers. I just don't really care.
Oh.
I've lived here 8 years, which is crazy. But I go to the games and root for them.
Yeah, that sounds about like my stance for the Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
Except for when I go for the Penguins games.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, when the Lions, what a miserable ass experience this was. Go see the Lions and the Panthers last year, not realizing I have COVID and I'm not hungover, and the Lions don't score a goddamn point the whole game.
Yeah, I remember seeing that score. I'm like, ooh, I was like, that just looks like an ugly game. Because Carolina didn't score that much, did they?
I think it was 20-0.
Okay.
It was by a guy who was in the XFL, PJ Walker, who I believe, or am I confusing that? Well, it may not be PJ Walker, because that's Aldo Montoya. That's incredible, but. Yeah, but we had banger seats. We were like 20 rows off the field in an end zone so we could see the Lions score and all this. And so anyways. I don't know why it's a surprise. Lions haven't been worth a shit since the Barry Sanders was there. And I don't care about this Jim Caldwell success, if you want to call it that. So whatever. So anyways. How about that NXT show, huh?
Yeah, that was an interesting one. I'm trying to think of what stood out the most, because I'm trying to think of what part. Oh, I have a confession to make. I mentioned it on Twitter, but I will make it here on the podcast. The WWE is really committed to this Tony D'Angelo bit. And I guess I respect them for just... It seems like they're really going to ham this thing up. I don't love it. It still hurts my heart in the wrong ways. But... they are really going for this old school Goomba character, and yeah, but they're really going for it, man.
Yeah, he exists. Like, Duke Hudson sucks. That character's just awful too. But at least that character just sucks. It's not like a stereotype. I can't stand, I hate everything about Tony D'Angelo in this, Lash Legend. Is that her name?
Yeah, Lash Legend.
Okay, yeah, I got it right. I can't stand her either, because I can't stand those talk shows. I mean, like, she can be ultra talented in the ring, I just fucking hate her. So, yeah, no.
It's one of those ones where I'm like, she is getting a gimmick over, but it really hasn't done anything for me. Like, I guess I think I'm with you. Like, daytime talk show host is like just a non-existent genre for me.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not going to buy into a daytime talk show host character.
Yeah, I mean, she's supposed to be like Wendy Williams or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, how is this? I mean, I'm being dead serious. How is this not one of them? How many goddamn judges shows are there during the day? How is there not a daytime judge character? It would only make sense. Or like, Andre Chase, I guess, I know he's the school teacher bit, whatever, but... he's kind of like borderline and like not Jerry Springer, but kind of like a Maury, something like that, but with like, you know, an angry edge, whatever. But
is Morton Downey Jr. going too far?
I don't think anyone listening to the show outside of people our age are going to know who that is, though. You know, that's pretty crazy.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, I was trying to think, like, there's really no in-your-face people, because there was, like, Phil Donahue, Morton Downey Jr., Sally Jesse, Jenny Jones. Well, Ricky Lake, but she wasn't really an in-your-face one. They tried that stuff, and it bombed.
Yeah.
She was just on because she was a fat girl that had a talk show, or a salacious talk show. As soon as she got skinny, people were like, never mind, we're going somewhere else. So that 90s stuff is amazing. If you go back and watch that stuff, like, Jesus Christ. What a great time period that was. The 80s are still better, but that late 90s, early 2000s stuff, man. Anyways. But yeah, I hate the both of them. I still get stuck on the fact the guy is a collegiate wrestler, and they got him doing this dumb shit. So, and I know everyone has to have a character now. I'm like, okay, whatever. But
yeah, like I said, I'm starting to not like this, but we'll see. You know. Like I said, they're committed to this bit, and I think that's unfortunately it's a good thing, and it seems like they're actually developing a character for him. Like there aren't a whole lot of people who I still have no idea what Von Wagner is.
Thank you. That was him and Grayson Wheeler.
Waller.
Whatever. Who cares?
But yeah,
he reminds me of Angelico, kind of like the dancing, like he's dancing to his own drummer even though the music doesn't sync up, all this stuff. I really got like an Angelico vibe from him. It was weird. They don't look anything alike, but it just kind of reminded me of that.
Oh yeah,
but the overwhelming problem with NXT right now is the sheer, and I know we've said this before, but it was pretty clear this week, especially when you realize who wasn't on the show. So they push all these new people, and then they're like, oh yeah, we got to put the old people still in here. Oh, that's right, Kaylee Ray came up. I'll give her an angry vignette for a little bit. Oh my God, Dakota Kai! God, we forgot all about that. So we'll bring her back. Last week, bring her in this week, and it's like all the people that they're just interchanging in and out. I know they wanted some new blood in there, but God damn, like the old guard's being lost. And I thought it was funny that Ciampa actually mentioned that in his promo, to where he was like, "Yeah, you know, everyone's saying that, you know." Bomb Breaker's gonna win. He's like, well, no one told Tommaso Ciampa or whatever. I kind of dug that line.
But, oh, yeah.
But yeah, but it's like MSK. Okay, they had their weird vignette.
I guess to talk about Dakota Kai first, like that one was weird because that to me was one of those matches that continues the trend of the veteran beating the newcomer.
Yeah.
I was
very afraid she was gonna lose.
Is just, yeah, like they teased it out better than they have in most matches. Because I'm like, oh wow, is Cora Jade actually gonna win this thing? And, no, she's not. But it's one of those situations where, and not that I expected them to get that much time, like, it didn't really prove how tough Cora Jade is or anything of that, like.
Yeah, really didn't.
Because Dakota Kai still beat her fairly quickly. So why, you know, like, it doesn't really benefit her. You know, Dakota Kai should have beat her anyway. And it doesn't do anything for Cora Jade. So why are we doing this again? Like, that's just another question that I feel like we keep on asking week in and week out with this new NXT 2.0.
Yeah. One of the telltales where this idea came from for me was the opening promo by Mandy Rose. And they took out Zoe Stark because she is legit injured. That's why they had to write her off.
Oh.
Which is kind of nice they did that instead of someone just disappearing and them going, oh, yeah, they got hurt. They'll be back. Okay, wait, what? But when Mandy Rose said, Mandy Rose said to Io Shirai, everyone used to be scared of you. Now you're just like everybody else or something like that. And I went, yeah, that's terrible. Because she's right. Like, Io Shirai was the woman of the women's division, and I know Raquel Gonzalez came in. Cool. You got to trade him around, right?
Yeah.
But then Io just went into this tag team. It's like she disappeared forever and then came in with this tag team thing. And she's just been kind of a side character. And I'm like, every time she's on and I see her, I'm like, that poor lady. She's never going to the main roster.
Yeah, I guess that was the strangest part, maybe, is that she... Like, her and Zoe Stark never really had any chemistry. Like, they didn't... They had some segments to try and get that chemistry, no chemistry thing over.
Yeah.
But they really didn't do enough of it or make it entertaining enough, you know, to amount to anything and to get her character over. Like, the only thing I can think of is, you know, the RK-Bro pairing right now. Just to have, well, I guess they have a bunch of dissimilar partners right now.
But that's even a play on the whole Pete Dunne, Matt Riddle thing.
Yeah. And I guess I was also thinking they have Rhea Ripley and Nikki Cross, or Nikki Ash, tag teaming together. And they've done a decent job of, you know, establishing their chemistry. Like, it's coming along as things, I feel like, as things move forward for them. But I never got any feeling of forward momentum with Io Shirai and Zoe Stark. To kind of get back to the point.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The tag team thing obviously works for the WWE when they want to keep a singles wrestler out of belt contention, but you also need to, like, and I think you can say this, you really can need to feature them. Like, Randy Orton and Matt Riddle are obviously, like, at least two or three segments on a Raw. And they weren't consistently getting a segment a week. And I mean, I know that that's tougher on NXT, but still, like, if you want to keep someone over, she needs to be on TV pretty much every week.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair, but it's like, goes with how I even started this. There's too many people to include every week, you know?
Oh.
Because even, like, Toxic Attraction, Mandy Rose had her spiel, but then Gigi Dolin and JC Jane, or JC James, were barely on. And they just won the tag titles. And I know, like, they were back there with Imperium and all that stuff, right? So I guess it goes a little bit against it. Which, by the way, Imperium still not speaking English, which is just weird. It's not even mad names, like whatever, but it's just weird.
That one cracked me up because NXT for whatever weird reason is very horny currently. Because we got Cora Jade and Trey Baxter hooking up. You know, what's his name is talking German. It's not Bartel. Oh yeah, it is Bartel.
I was like, Eichner? Like, wait, what? He speaks Italian, right?
He should.
Okay. My brain just dumped when he did that. I was like, it's not Bartel. I'm like,
I thought I had the name. I thought I had the names mixed up, and I in fact did not. I was Fabian Eichner's. Yeah, the Italian one. It's Marcel Bartel was the one speaking the German. And it just kind of reminded me of the old high school days when me and one of my buddies would speak German to get past our girlfriends. Marcel Bartel getting a little hot for either JC Jane or Gigi Dolan. I'm not sure which. But that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed that because it was right after them saying, like, the typical, we're not being corrupted. And all of a sudden, two attractive women with their ass hanging, one with their ass hanging. I was like, okay, yes, the America's not so bad. So, but it's like, even then, like, the tag champs, all of them, are in one small segment.
And you
got tricked. What's his name? Trick Williams? Right?
No. Yes.
It's not Williams. It is. All right.
Trick Williams. And
Carmelo Hayes.
And Carmelo Hayes, yeah.
Carmelo Hayes, unfortunately, is not going to be a giant star, but he should be. I think that guy's really good.
I've enjoyed his part in things. Yeah. Trick Williams, still kind of, I don't think they've given him enough to prove one way or the other what he's worth currently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but he doesn't do enough to make me go, ugh.
Yes, he's like, also
okay.
True.
At first, I'm like, who is this guy? And it's like, all right, okay. So he's kind of been introduced the way I think a lot of these guys should have been, and women for that matter. All right, so Carmelo Hayes, who we already knew, it was part of the breakout tournament that happened before all this. He brings his friend in, and you slowly work him up. Instead, Trick Williams just shows up and starts, like, saying, hey, you lost your edge, blah, blah, blah. You're like, what? NXT 2.0. Like, okay. And then they do play off each other pretty well. So it's like, I don't mind the package. And then just,
But I'm with you. It's a weird packaging when you have a guy win a breakout star tournament and then you immediately give him a partner. It's just like, huh? Even if he has a singles championship, like they seem to be concentrating on the whole two guys part currently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then we've got, I keep wanting to say Sam Shaw, it's Dexter Lumis and Johnny Gargano, that weird pairing.
That one definitely feels like we're playing out Johnny Gargano's contract. Just work with us.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to. So let's talk about this. There is no chance he resigns, right?
And this is a good balance point here, and I'd like to get your opinion. I don't think he re-signs. Like, he's not doing anything on the main roster, and he would be better off in AEW, where, again, they have some big guys there, but for the most part, the roster is on the smaller side. So he would, I think, work better over there. And he'd have a bunch of fresh opponents who, you know, he may have faced some of them a while ago on the indies, but it's been a while now. Because, I mean, he's probably been in the WWE for like 8 years or something at this point.
That I'm not sure of, but I don't think AEW is the place for him. Impact Wrestling seems to be a better destination. There are far too many people in AEW right now. It's going to be like, yeah, guys and gals are going to get lost in the shuffle. Nyla Rose, I mean,
oh,
she's wrestling on Dark, for God's sake. So, and she was like one of the big signings, one of the big stars right off the bat. She's a former champion, which everyone forgets. And she's on Dark wrestling tag team matches. But I saw, like, with the news of Ring of Honor and what they're doing there, I don't know if he's a suitable. I mean, I guess he could go to Japan and wrestle there if he wanted to for a little bit. Maybe with Candace being pregnant, who the hell knows? Maybe he does resign because of that. But there is no place for him on the main roster. There is no chance Vince is going to give him a chance. So seeing that, like, and then especially with him coming out when Ciampa was walking to the back, I would love to know when Ciampa's contract runs out too. But I can't see him staying. So when he walked by Ciampa, I was like, oh man, are they going to tease this? And then maybe give it to us. Maybe give it to us? Because isn't Johnny's done? Johnny's done at the end of December, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe that's it's somewhere in that time frame.
Yeah, because I mean, especially with Kevin Owens' contract supposedly coming up, even though, you know, he made like, you know,
his
reference of 3 years or 3 months.
And that's the one that I was going to ask you about was, I would not be surprised if Owens re-signed. Mm-hmm. You know, he's had a good enough run and they've kept him in a prominent position the whole time. Would he work somewhere? Yeah, he'd work great anywhere else. You know, like, because Kevin Owens is great. He's probably not ever going to be champion again in the WWE. At least Universal and or WWE, I don't think.
I could see WWE only because, the one thing that they messed up with him, and I will maintain this forever, is when he came in NXT, he was the prized fighter. All he wanted to do was wrestle for championships, right? Or wrestle for big money. And it's just kind of gotten away from that. Because remember, he came out, he immediately challenged John Cena, you know? And everyone was like going nuts, like, oh my God, they're giving him a chance. Then he wins the Universal title, and he's immediately in with Jericho, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was never really given a chance. But now, you've got, who do you have on Raw? Rollins, Tim, Big E. Orton's still there, but he's in the tag team right now, so that ain't gonna happen. AJ, whenever he comes back. Like, they've got, the unfortunate problem is they have a good mix of people again, but if you have a long-term memory, it's not a good mix because they've all tangled already. I mean, just two years ago, it was Rollins and Owens at WrestleMania, in air quotes, because they were going through a big feud. So, I can see him being champion. Not a feature play. Oh, I forgot Finn Balor was on Raw, too. I forgot about that. In that really great match with him and Chad Gable, by the way.
Yeah.
Of Raw I saw, I really liked that. That was great.
It was a wrestling heavy Raw, which made it better than normal.
Yeah. But no, I don't know, like, we all know the history with him and Vince, like Vince getting out his case and accepting him and then getting mad at him and now they're all good again. And, Owen's going up to him and or Owen's saying he wanted to go home during the COVID thing, and Vince asked him personally, like, what can I do to get you to stay? And he told Vince, here's what you gotta do, and Vince actually enacted most of the policies he told him. So there's a definite bonded relationship between the two.
Oh.
But if you're any WWE employee, I'm sorry, independent contractor, wrestler, why would you be loyal to them outside of a paycheck, which can be taken away at any second, unless you've, unless you've signed it for guaranteed money? I don't see why you'd be loyal to Vince McMahon or any of that, or WWE or anything. I also forgot that Edge is on Raw as well, I believe, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because they ended the feud with him and Seth and then moved them both to the same brand. Okay. But.
It somewhat makes sense because it gives Edge some more options and it keeps him away from Roman Reigns.
Yeah. But it just seemed like we were gonna get Seth and Roman anyways, but then they moved it. But whatever. But no.
Oh, yeah, I did kind of expect that eventually.
Yeah, but I would. So I mean, to go to try and get back to NXT, but I would really like to know whose contracts are coming up. Because Pete Dunne just re-signed, so he's not going anywhere.
Nope.
I would be very curious about Ciampa. Even well, he came in a little bit later, but Dexter Lumis, who's they've never really done anything with him. He
Hey.
had that he had that weird feud with the Dream, and then ended up helping Velveteen Dream. And then that it?
He has been on TV a lot, but has done virtually nothing.
Yeah.
It is the damnedest thing that he's pulled off. Like, he barely, the only thing he said is I do on TV. I can't believe he's gotten over as well as he has speaking that little. Especially when it's a creepy stalker gimmick. It's
Lose
a pretty w No, I did you lose me?
you? Yeah, you were in the middle of a sentence, then you kind of froze for a sec. You were talking about the limited number of words he says.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it crazy how over he is with how little he does?
Okay, yeah, there you go. All right, back. Well, that's always been his character, though. Even when he was Sam Shaw in the Indies and in Impact, he barely said anything. And it's funny because when he does, his voice doesn't really match. So it's like, oh, I get it. But
Oh.
again, like, they've never done anything like with that information. So it's just like, okay.
It's really weird how that gimmick is played out. Like, it's fun, but it's also pretty weird. Like, again, you have a serial killer who's a baby face. Okay.
And they play it for laughs too. It's like, oh, he's got a hatchet in his jacket. Yeah, 'cause he's gonna kill someone with it. And I was like, oh, I mean, I was laughing too, so I'm one of them. But okay, but he's one of the old guard, and Gargano obviously is. But even like Dexter Lumis is one of the old those old guard guys. We're like, okay, luckily he was in this thing with Gargano, or he would have gotten lost in the shuffle.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even like Indy Hartwell and her friend, like they
Persia
weren't even on
Parada.
this week. They weren't even mentioned, I don't think.
Now, that I don't have much of a problem with because she's been on for almost a month straight talking about how she wore Dexter out week in and week out. And showing off her ring. Because what were they? They were in the ladder. Was it a ladder match last week?
Yes, that was for the titles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they, yeah, they can have a week off after after getting involved in a ladder match. I think that's fair enough. So, and like I said, like I feel like she's been pretty consistent with what she's, her and Persia, although I'm barely remembering that woman's name.
I didn't remember any. That's why I said in her friend. So, but yeah, I'm just trying to like, Raquel Gonzalez wasn't on, which, okay, I get because she lost the title. I understand why she's not on.
I was a little bit surprised that she didn't run down during the, I guess that was an interesting part of that whole thing that we didn't talk about, was Dakota Kai looking like she was going to stomp Cora Jade's face in with a table over top of it, and then decided against doing so. I guess I thought, oh, here's Raquel out for the save, and just didn't show up.
Yeah. Well, like real world, she's been working SmackDown Dark matches now. So I think her time may be up. Which,
oh.
Okay. But yeah, storyline wise, you know, you can say like, you know, she did take a shovel in the back. And just, you know, it wasn't plastic, so it's like, okay, that'll put her out for like a couple weeks. Doctors won't clear, something like that. But they didn't even mention her outside of, you know, Mandy Rose beating her or her costing her the title. So,
oh, right.
I've always loved Dakota Kai, and the more she's on TV, the better, and the better the other women will be for working with her. So, good. Because that match had its spots where if it was somebody else, like if it was, oh God, I forgot the girl's name already. What was her name? Cora Jade?
Yeah.
If it was her and say, I don't know, whoever, oh, even if it was Indy Hartwell, that match would have been a nightmare of just blown spot after blown spot. But luckily you had Dakota in there to cover for everything. And you could see where stuff went sideways. But Dakota's such a damn pro. Okay, let's just keep going. So.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. They don't have, you could call Dakota Kai a glue kind of person. She brings everything together. You know, like, I don't know if she's really going to get many, if any, championship runs. But I see her always, you know, being involved somewhere or another.
Yeah, I mean, there's some other people that are like that too, who've had decent careers. So,
yeah,
you know, just even like the Bomb Breakers that we're talking about, he doesn't need to win a title.
No, and they gave him a perfect. Although, again, another one of those complaints. Not that. I don't think, is it Anthony Chase?
Andre Chase.
You know, I don't think Andre Chase is going to be a main eventer in his sweater with a U on it. But it's still a little bit weird when the new guys beat the new guys instead of maybe beating some truly enhancement talent that may be available at your performance center.
Yeah, no, like, Andre Chase is good. And I don't like the teacher gimmick because it's kind of saddled them. They're trying to make the most of it. But he's good. So if his talent can shine through, he'll be just fine. He really will. Because I've seen him plenty of times around here. So... Well, we'll see. We'll see what they do. I mean, Steve Jones wasn't on the show.
Oh.
Diamond Mine, none of them were on the show, right? Or did I miss something?
No, I don't remember Diamond Mine being on at all.
Okay. Pete Dunne, nowhere to be found. Where the hell's Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch?
They had a match a week or two ago?
Is it? Oh, no, Oney Lorcan took on somebody. Was it Rich Holland?
Yeah. Maybe it's just a singles match. Oh, you know what? I think Burch is hurt again.
Oh my god, really? That sucks.
Now that you're talking about it, I feel like I might have come across that news, but I'm not completely sure.
That'd be pretty crazy. Was that 3 times in 3 years?
It's been all too quickly that things have fallen apart for him. Because, yeah, I mean, he just came back not that long ago.
Okay. I mentioned his name, and I can't stop thinking about this. So, Bomb Breaker, right?
Yeah.
That promo he cut, it was choppy, was weird. Like, it was intense. And I loved it. But goddamn, did that remind me of a Scott Steiner promo, like, one sentence away from going off the rails. It is amazing. I know I say this every week. It is amazing how he has his dad's build in his goddamn uncle's voice. That's weird. Unless he's doing it on purpose. And oh. He, I mean, he's like, all right, everybody. He's like, oh, well, that's weird. Yeah, that's my, you know, I do my Scott Steiner voice. Like, oh, you're really good at it, sir. But yeah, I love that. He's like, yep, Ciampa, you were the man. Like, just doing the Scott Steiner thing. You were the man this week. But I don't like losing. You know, we're far from over and all this. And I'm like, he sounds like Scott Steiner.
Yes, he does. Like, it is really weird. Like, you see everything Steiner in that family. So it only gets weirder and weirder that they don't call him Steiner. In some way or another, because it's in the way, like the way I was even noticing, I guess I didn't pay that much attention, but he throws a clothesline like his dad because he hops into it a little bit.
Yep, Steiner line.
Yeah.
I guess they could call him a breaker line. It just... Unless there's some weird thing where Rick and Scott own, like, the rights to Steiner?
That is conceivable.
I don't know. Because they were named that in WCW or... Well, Rick was around in... This is where we need Dan. I believe Rick was around for the late Mid-South stuff. Not Mid-South, but Mid-Atlantic. And then it became World Championship Wrestling. So I guess WWE would own all that footage, but does it give them intellectual property for the name? Whatever. It was just a thought. Maybe that's why. Since they're allowed to use it. You know, Rick and Scott are like, yeah, you can use our names. For, like, you know, video and all that stuff. But anything else, right. Promotion, forget it. You got to pay us. So maybe that's why they're like, oh, forget it. We can't call this guy Steiner. that guy's cool. I enjoy watching him. He's, you know, still new, whatever. But they knew what to do when they picked him. Like, Von Wagner, no. I don't see it at all.
Yeah. They were ones that I didn't watch it today, but I did see that him and Kyle O'Reilly got a backstage segment. But Kyle O'Reilly's another one that I just saw here that evidently his contract is going to be up here soon, too.
Yeah. He's leaving for sure. There is no chance he stays. Because there's, I told Elise last night, I feel bad for him. He had that giant run with the, Undisputed Era. Big run as a singles guy on top, trying to get to the top. And now he's with a rookie, hanging out in the woods, calling the guy who drinks at a campfire crazy. Like, okay, that's... Yeah, but yeah, he's gotta go. I'm wondering, is there actually a list of any of these guys?
Ooh.
I'm just curious about. Oh.
Oof.
Oh, his expires next month too.
Who?
Well. Yeah, so Riley's is the end of next month. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, Gargano's is over December 3rd.
Oh. Could fool me.
Holy shit!
If it's done October 3rd, they are. Using him until the very end.
He is so closely tied to one of their bigger storylines. He has to be used.
That would be really bizarre to let that person go. Because even for as big as Daniel Bryan was, his involvement in WWE storylines had definitely slowed down. The last couple of years. And they wrote him off TV. And he just kind of wrote out his contract until he was, didn't re-sign and then signed with AEW. Yeah, Gargano is really going to the last minute. And it would be really bizarre if he goes somewhere. Now, that just with how they presented the stuff with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams and what really seems to be a weird but workable tag team with him and Dexter Loomis, why would you let that person walk away? But again, who knows? He's at his ceiling. I don't know how he's continued to be at this ceiling. It really is impressive that he's somehow figured out a way to be so entertaining that they've kept him on TV. Because that storyline started under Triple H and. Vince and or whomever exactly is in charge at this point is still running with it, essentially.
I was on mute.
That storyline's been months in the making.
Hmm. Well, I thought there was something weird going on with that tease, though, with Gargano and Ciampa.
Uh-oh.
Because remember... Because you jarred it was, you saying that Triple H was heavily involved. Yeah, and that was supposed to be the end of it. So, I don't know if that was just for, old-time fans. Was like, hey, we haven't forgotten about you. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys, which makes this, Ty Valkyrie was not on. Robert Stone was against that dude with the tattoos. Okay, who was singing Sexy Boy? I looked at Elise like, oh my God, she was like, you're not enjoying this, are you? I was like, no, I'm not. Not that stuff. But anyways, it's that weird mix, man. Like, Ty Valkyrie wasn't, or I'm sorry, what's her name? Frankie Monet was not.
Oh. Yeah, that's still one that's just a mystery.
Yeah. I mean, why bother? Honestly, why sign just to not be used on a TV show that does not draw the ratings of AEW, but there was really nothing for her to do in Impact. And the one thing, promotion that we are not talking about, which we might need to start talking about, is NWA. Now, look, I know Billy Corgan does not have a ton of money to sign people. But damn, that's a viable option. I mean, Taven and Mike Bennett just showed up. And I was like, wait a minute, goddamn. Okay, they just showed up at NWA. Like, that's one promotion that no one really mentions that could actually benefit from Ring of Honor going belly up. I mean, especially if they're running like an indie, Ring of Honor wants to run theirs like an indie now. They have a wealth of talent they can now use.
Yeah, those guys are going to say, at least the top guys are going to sign somewhere. But I do think ROH has a lot of fun guys. I just think that Sinclair never sunk any money into it. And it's, Chris and I discussed it on the last show a little bit, but it's sad that some of the indies that I see on IWTV have more production value than Ring of Honor.
Dude, the Game Changer Wrestling seemingly has more production value from their shitty YouTube stuff.
Yep. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I wouldn't be surprised.
It's lit. You can see everything. So you see all the crowd, the walls, all that stuff, but it's still lit better than Ring of Honor. And I know that they're making their best do with COVID, whatever else. But okay, it's over, so let's change some shit up. But they just, AEW really hurt them, and now they're kind of reaping the ill effects. But Ring of Honor's women's division, hey, let's see Impact's Wrestling women's division is a little light. So getting some of those people would be pretty good. Or hell, the NWA has a women's champion and a women's tag team champions. Some of those new, I can't honestly name you a lot of Ring of Honor women's wrestlers. I just can't.
They're so
green and new.
Yeah, that one's been rough. And the people that have stuck around, it's just like, Sumi Sakai is one of their veteran wrestlers, and she just doesn't really, I think she's a good in-ring competitor, but she also doesn't really stand out to me at all. And they were having a women, because I'm still watching it because I'm still like 2 months behind on their programming for Ring of Honor. They had a women's tournament. I forget what it's for. I think it's for the championship. And yeah, the people that they have left, like Angelina Love, I don't care anymore. Like, I understand that her and Velvet Sky were two of the best at one time period. But that time period was like a decade ago. And then the rest of the wrestlers, what they had, Allison Kay in the tournament. She ended up losing kind of early, which is fine, honestly. Because she's kind of at that point where, she's been around long enough. Like, I don't know what championship she's going to win or what big promotion is really going to push her at this juncture if she hasn't gotten it at this point. I feel like she had a run in Impact, and was she somewhere else? Are you muted again?
No, I'm thinking. Sorry. Oh, no. Yeah, okay.
Hey, yeah. Yeah,
I'm sorry,
there.
I wanted to interrupt you for a change, so I just got like deadly silent. Sorry about that.
Well, Ring of Honor didn't have that much in the women's department. Like, it was kind of funny
No,
that
not
Chelsea
really.
Green ended up making a big deal out of signing there, and then they fold a couple of months after signing her.
Yeah. Talk about snake bitten. She goes to WWE, NXT, gets hurt. Goes to WWE, gets hurt. Leaves, goes to Impact Wrestling, gets hurt. I'm gonna sign with Ring of Honor as well. We're out of business. Well, shit. Okay, never mind. Just like it's not meant, but I the disillusion or whatever Ring of Honor is calling this has given, to me at least, has given some new life and some new opportunity to Impact and the NWA. The NWA obviously is not going to be a large paycheck, you know? But it's going to be a paycheck that you're no longer getting. So it has to be something that wrestlers are considering. To me, at least, it would be.
Well, I mean, you could. It seems like Zack Ryder is just doing fine for himself, hopping around to a bunch of different indies.
I think he's more popular is not the word. Influential is far too strong of a word. He has more notoriety now because he's doing it on his own, just like when he was doing those Long Island ICs. When he does something on his own, he makes a difference. He goes to Impact and all of a sudden shows up at Game Changer, wins the title. When's the last time you gave a shit about Zack Ryder or Matt Cardona? Not even being mean about it. But he was mystically, I guess, when he won the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. Because that was cool.
Yes. Very cool.
And then he
But
loses it the next day.
yeah, and he, it's always weird when you get the, hey, I got that day. And it's just like, well, I'm sorry, but like everything that came after that, it was a complete and utter disaster, dude. I guess one moment can make up for 3 years of a disaster, but you usually want the redemption moment at the end, not at the beginning of the story.
Yeah, because I mean, even after he got released, he shows up at AEW and then just kind of disappears. And everyone's like, hey, what happened to you? He's like, oh, I only signed like a five match or five appearance deal or something. Shows up in Impact and he's taken off since, because I guess Impact's giving the leeway for this stuff? I don't know. But it's just crazy to me to think that he's gotten more publicity, more buzz, doing this goofy stuff where he wrestles death matches now, bad mouths the death match fans and that, which I think is a great Mick Foley thing. And like, when's the last time we even talked about the guy?
Oh, it's been a long time. Because
WrestleMania, when he won the title?
he probably. And it
Yeah.
was kind of funny because he ended up winning the AIW championship. I haven't watched that event yet because it wasn't posted when I popped on there because it had only just been the live event. But
I
I
did not
was
know
gonna
that. That's gonna be fun.
take a look at that because I think he's gonna be back to defend the championship or something at their next pay-per-view.
Well, I know that he caused kind of a fuss, which was, to me, very funny. Because he was saying, like, someone said that he should show up in Detroit for Game Changer. He goes, I don't show up to the B towns. And Game Changer came back going, Detroit's a great wrestling city. It's not one of the B towns, none of that. And he goes, then how come your champion's not making an appearance? Because it's Moxley. And just totally shut him down. And I was like, I didn't know he had that in him. And then you obviously you saw the news about John Moxley, right?
Yeah, I did see that. And that was I figured that was our go out topic.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that I don't know. It was kind of like part of his. It was part of his gimmick. You know, he was like, "Yep, I'm gonna have a shot of whiskey and do all this. And I'm gonna go party with the boys," and then to have this happen out of the, like to me out of the blue. But you know, especially when you just got a your wife just had a kid. I mean.
It was, I guess I was pretty surprised by the news when I saw it because he didn't ever strike me as that much of a drinker. I obviously I'm wrong. And
Yeah.
I had also felt like he I thought, especially with this recent he's been running through the tag t or the title eliminator challenge or whatever the fuck they're calling it tournament.
Yeah.
He has looked really jacked recently.
I was gonna say the same thing. And I was
Hey.
like, was it jacked or is he bloated? If he's is he drinking that much? 'Cause that happens.
I guess it could be bloated, but he still looks big. You know, like I don't
Yes.
think he looks like. He's never been a six-pack guy. But I always thought that because he talked about doing a lot of, you know, he always seemed like he had a cardio-heavy routine. I guess I'd be interested to see if he's doing more weights at this point. Because, yeah, to me, he just looked big. But yeah, I mean, part of that might have been caused by bloat.
I just considered it. Wait, he's healthy. He got time off, so he's able to work out.
And that's what I was
And
thinking too.
yeah, but then that face of his blows up, and I mean, he turns red like Brock does right now. That's not good, because he didn't used to do that. So, you know, there's something to it, and you know, I'm just, you know, as somebody who's dealt with a bunch of alcoholics in his family, and I'm guessing that's what we call this. He said he had a problem with, he said he had to go and get a problem with his drinking. Or, I'm sorry, he had to go get a problem. That's good. He had to go get help for his problem. So I'm
Yeah.
guessing that means alcoholism. Or is it one of these where it's a burnout and you've been hitting the bottle too hard and you need to get help with the burnout or something? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it did because yeah, Tony Khan said inpatient alcohol treatment program. To me, when you put the word alcohol in there, that's the way it. Most of these treatment centers, I would assume, have multiple users, I would say, at their facility. But yeah, when you emphasize that instead of drugs or something like that, instead of, yeah, because I do feel like a lot of people say drug rehab when they have
Yes,
another
they do.
problem.
Well, they're still like I've always thought people went softer on. I just go with it on this. I'm not trying to disparage anybody. It's just I think sometimes a drug rehab is treated a little softer than when someone says, "I have a drinking problem." And this is just a personal experience, not mine, thank God. Well, not me personally. I mean, if somebody says that I have a drinking problem or I'm an alcoholic, it's like, well, just stop drinking. If somebody has a drug problem, like, oh my God, you need to go get help. And it's like, oh, but wait, what? Like, what about me? I mean, I'm doing the same thing. And I guess drugs are such a, like a final, like, if you OD on drugs, that's it, you're done, right?
Oh,
If you
yeah.
OD on alcohol, and well, I mean, not always dead, mind you, but trust me, my uncle Jimmy, Jesus, I told you about him, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy that only says a few sentences and talks really close. And then smokes like a chimney now. But and trust me, guys, he's in his 70s now. So it's okay. Not okay.
Oh.
Jesus. Anyways.
There are these two older people that I see out front of the one elderly facility that I drive past every day, and I just kind of laugh.
Yep. But yeah, but no, it always just seems like, you know, alcohol is a slower descent, and I've never understood why you just got treated differently. But
yeah, I'm with you. Like, especially recently, like, it's just like, oh, they had to go into drug rehab. You hear so much, you just hear a lot about that. And I've definitely been guilty of going, well, just stop drinking.
Yeah.
Either that, or I just go, huh, you poor bastard. You can't handle yourself and you've got to stop drinking. I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, it's yeah, but no. So yeah, sorry, I just went somewhere else. But no, it sucks, and it's nice to see, and hopefully that it works, that he gets the help he needs, because that's after seeing people in my own family just like wither away from that bullshit. And that's why I've always been very cognitive of how much I drink. And I know you're like, what? Like, yeah, I'm not even trying to be smart-ass about it. But, you know, having had a bunch of people in my family, you know, alcoholics, whatever else, and some of them die from it. Because like I said, it's a slow disintegration.
Oh. And
multitudes of doctor visits, rehabs, control centers, whatever you want to call them. So seeing that news was kind of surprising, because he always seemed like he had a level head, like about his fame, about what he wanted, what he was doing, that sort of stuff, to the point where he seemed smarter than to get caught up. But if it's anything, this is a lesson for people to where it's like, yeah, this can happen to anybody. So it's not...
Yeah.
Kind of like one person's disease over another's, or one person's whatever over another. It can honestly happen to anybody if you just don't control yourself and find whatever other issues you have that are causing you to do this stuff. So, I know I sound very weirdly reasonable. Sorry. Oh, I apologize.
But yeah, I mean, anyone that voluntarily goes in instead of essentially getting pitched into such a facility, tip of the cap to them.
Yeah, and on a brighter note, I have heard when you are checking yourself into a rehab or a clinic or something like that, you don't go in sober. So that basically, the majority of people will go in still either drunk or getting ready to have like a big drink on. So that last party sounds like it'd be fucking awesome. So there, I'm back. So,
well,
Godspeed, man. I honestly hope the best for him. I also hope he takes as long as he needs.
Oh yes, yes, like, yes.
Don't worry about this wrestling thing. I would assume he's got a shit ton of money. He doesn't have a want or need that he can't just handle in the meantime. So
yeah, and I'm gonna guess that his wife did okay also.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, you never know. So
yeah, you never do, but I would assume she at least had a half decent salary, and that her podcast is bringing in something.
Yeah, sure. I forgot about the podcast stuff.
Yeah.
So, by name alone.
She's certainly been out there since leaving the WWE, even with something of a respite after having the child here.
Yeah, she like I know you can record a bunch of podcasts all at once and all that stuff, right? But man, she never really seemed to slow down. It's like she has a kid, and she's I don't know. I never had a kid of my own. You know, I got Bishop, but I wasn't around for at least being pregnant and all that stuff, so I don't really know what's involved. But having a kid sounds like it's going to be exhausting. Well, not that I'm going to have one. I'm 47 years old. Fucking chance of that. But you know what I mean, just like it just sounds like everything involved just sounds like ugh.
Yeah, does over. Not sound like fun.
No, it never did. So, hence, well, I never had them. My thousand batting average is you know still in place. So, batting 1,000 on that front. As far as I know, so.
Is it wrong to shamelessly plug beer after talking about someone going into a rehab?
Never really thought about it that way. I don't think so.
No. So, yet again, one of my favorites out of the great city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Gristhouse Brewing Conspiracy Tangle New England IPA. 7.2% alcohol. The younger brother lives right near their production facility, and my liver will not be thanking me, but it will keep me in contact with some great beer out of that fine region of the world. So that is my bell time beer of the choice of the show. You drinking anything down there?
Nah, it's the Gatorade Zero. I guess it's kind of a stupid story to say. Yeah, we cleaned a lot of the fridge out this weekend. So no rehab my future, thankfully. So I'm just not gonna go. So there we go. See,
That is obviously at Granny Mays. This is at DeFranco 11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any of your fine purveyors of podcasts, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google, or Stitcher. Have a good night, grandkids.